are Locked On Giants, your daily San Francisco Giants podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name's Ben Caspick, and on this show, we provide daily episodes Monday through Friday, approximately 15 to 20 minutes in length, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also simple, passionate, and accessible to all. Coming up on today's show, we're going to do another edition of the Giants Mailbag, so thank you so much to everyone who submitted questions on Twitter. A little bit about me, I've been a contributor for the baseball analysis sites Beyond the Box Score and Rotographs, which is part of Fangraphs. I started a Giants podcast called Covecast in 2015 and then began hosting this show prior to the 2019 season. But just jumping right into the questions, TrevB7 asks, what are the chances the Giants sign a big-time free agent this offseason? I definitely expect them to spend big next offseason, but curious about your thoughts for this upcoming year. And I think this is the million-dollar question on everybody's mind around this time of year. And it's a question people want to know the answer to every single offseason, and I totally understand why. And I'm among the people wondering this exact same thing. So there's two schools of thought here for me. The first school of thought is that under Farhan Zaidi, we have seen them not really make big splashes in free agency. The thing is, though, like when you look at someone like Mike Yastrzemski, that he wasn't signed to a $300 million contract. He was a low-key trade acquisition whose production then turned into production that teams would pay a lot of money for. Same thing with like Kevin Gausman. He wasn't signed to some massive deal last winter, but then he came out and produced like an ace. So like spending on the big names doesn't necessarily translate to great production on the field. And sometimes the low-key additions do. That's kind of my rationale for why they don't and haven't made a big splash in free agency. Although I will point out, they pursued Bryce Harper and I think offered him 11 years and $310 million. Or 12 years. I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was big. So again, the one school of thought is that they will not, because we haven't yet seen that, except of course with Bryce Harper, but he was a special case. The other school of thought is that at what point do they spend some money, if that point arrives at all? And the reason, like you said, you would expect it next offseason is because they have almost no money committed beyond 2021. They're also going to have some positions potentially open up with Brandon Crawford, Brandon Belt, Buster Posey, all reaching free agency. Posey has a buyout, but it's, you know, a huge contract that I would expect them to buy out for the following year. But anyway, I'm kind of on the fence. The reason I want to say that I do not expect them to sign a big-time free agent this offseason is because there just simply aren't that many who are perfect fits. The one guy who like might make sense as a big-time free agent is Trevor Bauer. But besides that, he's like the only pitcher who qualifies as a big-time free agent. And then the position players, none of them are perfect fits. Like George Springer, I guess, is a good fit, but he's 31 years old. I'm not sure the Giants are at a point where they want to be signing 31-year-old outfielders to long-term deals where those deals can look pretty bad at the end of them. So when you're getting his best production, you're potentially in years where you're not quite there yet, ready to push all your chips in the middle and compete. And then when your team does get good, you're getting the back end of that production when he's declining. So that's the reason for that. But this is a long answer, I know. But the other thought, though, is that when your good prospects start to arrive, you kind of want to have your big spending acquisitions in place. Like, for example, what the Padres have done with Manny Machado. And Eric Hosmer is another story because I think that was just a bad contract. But when like Tatis and the young pitching staff arrived and established themselves, they already had a Manny Machado. But when they signed Manny Machado, they weren't yet quite good enough in a lot of people's eyes. But it's good to have those types of players around when your young core arrives. Problem is, there's no 26-year-old studs in the market this offseason, and there are some next year. So all of that to say, I'm going to say no, I still don't expect it this year, but I agree with you that I would probably expect something next year. Cameron asks, think the front office will target a high-risk, high-reward starting pitcher, Kluber, Paxton, Tanaka, Archer, or more of a solid but more expensive starting pitcher like Walker, Lester, Odorizzi, Arrieta, Quintana? So this is a question I find myself wondering about as well. I don't think they'll just completely ignore the upside group. I wouldn't necessarily put Tanaka in that group. Archer is someone I'm not so sure about because of injury concerns. He had surgery to repair thoracic outlet syndrome, which is a devastating injury for pitchers to come back from. So yeah, like the Kluber, Paxton, I've been thinking about those two guys specifically. I don't think they're just going to skip out on the high upside group because they've had a lot of success with those types of pitchers, Kevin Gausman, Drew Smyly, Drew Pomeranz. So I would expect them to get one or two of those types of pitchers at least. But then, yeah, you do have this like safer group. I don't know. I don't really see Lester as a fit, but Quintana is a guy who sticks out to me as a possible fit. I don't see Arrieta as a fit. Taiwan Walker, yes. I mean, he's young. I think that he would potentially make sense. Jake Odorizzi is kind of in the middle. He's got upside, but he's also got a pretty high floor. So I like the fit there with him. But why not kind of one of both, maybe? Maybe a couple of upside guys and then a safer guy as well. The names that do stand out to me, Kluber, Paxton, Odorizzi, and Quintana. And I guess Taiwan Walker also. Davis Chili asks, thoughts on adding Puig, under-the-radar power speed addition to help against right-handed pitching, because he has reverse platoon splits. Yeah, I mean, he's a name to look out for. It's weird that he didn't end up playing in all of 2020. He did have a deal, I think, with the Braves, but then tested positive for COVID-19, and then the deal fell apart. He didn't pass his physical, I guess. But he didn't play, so he hasn't played a professional game since the end of 2019. So I'm not so sure that teams are going to really... I think the best he might be able to do at this point is a really cheap one-year deal or even a minor league deal with an invitation to spring training. He's kind of been squeezed out of the market, it seems. So I'm not super high on him as a fit, but there have always been rumors around him and the Giants ever since he left the Dodgers, basically, as a possible fit, but it hasn't happened yet, and there's probably good reason for that. Like, they could have just signed him last year. There were rumors about it, but it didn't happen. So he's definitely someone to keep on our radar, but I would be skeptical about that actually happening. All right, coming up next, more questions and answers. But first, I want to talk about our good friends over at Built Bar. If you know me, you know that I love these bars. And I wouldn't be saying that about these bars if they weren't so low in sugar, because I'm a health conscious person and I'm not going to be eating a protein bar that basically is a candy bar. But what's great about Built Bar is that they taste like a candy bar. They taste like candy, except they're somehow very low in sugar and high in protein. Bars are covered in 100% chocolate and they're soft and easy to chew. I'm going to give an example of the nutritional facts about one of these bars. The peanut butter bar has 19 grams of protein, just 180 calories, and 5 grams of sugar. Built Bar has reset the promo code for this relaunch. There's a free cooler with every purchase while supplies last. Go to builtbar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get 20% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at builtbar.com. All right, as promised, here in the second half of the show, more questions and answers in this edition of the Giants Mailbag. Kyle asks, will Dave Dombrowski attempt to move Bryce Harper? Could the Giants be a landing spot? And I wanted to address this question because I think it is significant news that Dave Dombrowski has been hired to lead the Phillies. I think president of baseball operations is his title. We didn't think that Dave Dombrowski was going to leave what he was doing trying to bring a major league team to Tennessee. We heard that he was comfortable there and didn't want to leave. But he has been hired to lead the Phillies. So it's an interesting 180 for the Phillies, who were kind of all in on the analytics side with Matt Klentak and Gabe Kapler. Then Kapler gets fired. Klentak gets fired or reassigned within the organization, I guess. And now they have Joe Girardi, old school as they come, and Dave Dombrowski, old school as they come. And Dombrowski is known for kind of these big dramatic moves where usually it's him bringing in star talent, not so much trading away star talent. But he's bold. He's not afraid to make big moves. He's not afraid to trade prospects for impact players. And so perhaps he shakes up the market this winter, I would say by adding as opposed to subtracting. But like bringing in a Francisco Lindor or a Chris Bryant, making some big signings. I don't know exactly what the Phillies' financial situation is. They've said they've lost a lot of money. So anyway, I do not see them shopping Bryce Harper. I don't think Dombrowski is brought in to trade away their best player. I also think Bryce Harper has a full no trade clause, and that was part of the deal. He didn't want to leave Philadelphia. That was why he wanted this massive 13-year deal, full no trade, so he could just settle in to a town and be there for the rest of his career. So I think the chances of a Bryce Harper trade are slim to none, but Dave Dombrowski being the new president of baseball operations for the Phillies does mean that the Phillies become a team that the Giants should be engaging with because their styles are kind of opposite. And so if only the Giants had some like good but high-priced and aging veteran they could trade away, that's the type of player the Phillies might be looking to acquire. Like maybe a Madison Bumgarner at the deadline a couple years ago would be a move that Dombrowski would want to make for that kind of name recognition and cachet. But I don't think the Giants really have those pieces right now in terms of trade assets. They more have like players they would want to keep themselves, like Yastrzemski, Gausman, all their prospects that are coming. So the Phillies are definitely a team to watch moving forward as a potential trade fit with the Giants, but not, in my opinion, a Bryce Harper deal at this stage. RudeBoy223 asks, with the pandemic still going on, is it a lock Posey is even back this coming season? And this is another question I've thought about myself. We all have been talking like it is a lock, like, oh, Posey will be coming back, so that changes the catcher position. And as I say that, I'm even remembering that Farhan Zaidi himself said that in this Chalk Talk at Home YouTube event that he put on, or that the Giants put on with Farhan and Scott Harris and the Giants broadcasters last week sometime. But Farhan said in that event, they'll have Buster Posey coming back as the catcher. So I assume he has, you know, insider knowledge about that, and that Posey has probably expressed that he's, you know, itching to get back out there and plans to be a part of the 2021 season. But until he's out there, until we know exactly what's going to happen, I wouldn't say that it's a lock. The whole season is not a lock. I mean, starting spring training on time is not a lock. Starting the season on time is not a lock. Playing a full season, not a lock. So there's a lot we don't know, but there's definitely reason for optimism, of course, nationally, globally, with these vaccines coming. And I think the players will probably by March or April be able to access vaccines. And in Posey's case, you know, potentially his wife also being able to get it. I don't know. Children don't get the vaccine. The premature twin girls, I think, were only a health risk shortly after they were born. I think by the time they're like 1 year old, then they should probably be fine. I don't know. I'm not a pediatrician. I'm going way off topic here. But the point is, I think it's pretty safe to say that he'll be back. There's a lot of reasons for optimism. But if he doesn't come back, then they've got problems. And catcher is going to be a weak position this year unless Joey Bart steps up and turns things around, which he very well could do. Last question comes from Katie, who asks, will the Giants ever hit on a Rule 5 pick? This is obviously a very relevant question with the Rule 5 draft being yesterday. And I mean, of course, I don't know if, ever? Yes, probably they will eventually at some point. But the thing about the Rule 5 draft is most teams do not hit. These are generally like low upside types of players or like lottery picks, meaning very high likelihood of flaming out, but a remote chance that they could be good. And if they're good, they might be really good. But it rarely happens. Most Rule 5 picks don't pan out. It gets a lot of attention, but it's usually, to me, like not ultimately that exciting of a thing because these guys, I think at best, like the guy the Giants took yesterday becomes like a middle relief option, and that's just not the most exciting thing. And they've already got players like this in their own system. It's just this player only costs $100,000 to acquire. So do you want to take that chance to bring him into your organization? And teams do. So that's that. That is all the time we have for today. Thank you so much to everyone who submitted questions, and thank you all for listening, of course. We'll be back with another episode on Monday. If you like the show, please consider rating it or leaving a review in the Apple Podcast Store. Thank you so much for listening. Have a great weekend. I can't wait to be with you again on Monday, and until then, we'll see you next time.